Well, we are continuing through the wonderful Word of God. And to your delight, we are beginning another section. You say, why is that important? Because there are so many sections. And as we begin more and more of them, that's going to be mean that there are less and less of them to discover as we go on. So we are moving along, I think, very well. We are on Psalm 119, verse 121. This is the Hebrew letter Ain. And we have this letter to discover and what it talks about here in these verses. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we are in Psalm 119, and we will begin in verse 121, reading together through verse 128. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to thine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all the... and hate every false way. So here we are in Psalm 119 and verse 121. And we look and see, and it says in verse 121... He makes a statement and says, I have done judgment and justice. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. That's a pretty confident statement, if you will. I have done judgment and justice. You know, God, as our Heavenly Father and as our overseer, and if you will, God provided salvation for us. We are His children. He wants us to do justice and judgment. He wants us to make sure that we live and follow the upright way, a path of righteousness. And David says with quite confident tones, I have done judgment and justice. In other words, basically, it's kind of a comment is to God saying, God, I've done what's right. I've done what you've asked me to do. I've done these things according to how you provided them to me and shown me thy ways and these things. And he said, I have done justice and or judgment and justice. And he makes a request, leave me not to mine oppressors. He said, God, would you spare me? Would you allow me to be delivered? Or don't just leave me out in the open. Don't just leave me to be ravaged by those that are oppressing me and against me. He said, God, I've followed your path. I've done what you wanted me to do. I've done judgment. I've done justice. I've lived the righteous life that you've asked me to live. Please don't leave me to mine oppressors. Is that such a hard ask for God? Not really. Isn't it quite reasonable for the psalmist to ask that? Oh, I think it is. And I think we can see in Scripture that God would answer that favorably. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. God wants us to live a right and righteous life. And he says that he will reward such accordingly. In Deuteronomy 16, look at verse 18 through 20. And of course, there are other passages in Scripture that say something quite similar. But in Deuteronomy 16, look at verse 18, it says, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He says, hey, do justice, do judgment, do these things the right ways and the right paths, and you'll live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Psalm 82, David says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of your children of the most, all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. You see, judgment is to be just. It is to be done in the right and proper way. And when it is, God answers us. I have no doubt that as David said, I have done judgment and justice, leave me not to mine oppressors, that indeed would be answered by the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. We see here the account of Elisha. And as he is doing his work as a prophet, and may I say, you can say a lot of things about Elijah, but one of the things is he certainly was not one that just kind of quit easily, although we will talk about that in just a moment. But you understand, though, that he did press on, and he did accomplish a great task. He did have some down times, but as he did things according to God's design. And as we look here and we see in 1 Kings and chapter 18, look at in verse 30, it says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, you know this story. They're on Mount Carmel. They've gathered everybody together. And the prophets of Baal, they had their turn, and they called out all day. And we've heard this story 100 times, if you will. But he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, now listen to this, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He said, hey, God, I'm standing here. I've just witnessed these 400 prophets of Baal cut themselves, cry out to their false god and not get an answer. And I even had a little fun mocking them. He said, God, I'm your servant. You're my God. I've done things your way. And he says this, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. I think somewhat similar to the psalmist, as he says, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. I don't think David expected to hear crickets chirping after that request. I think he expected to hear from God according to who God is and what God is. I don't think that Elijah, standing on Mount Carmel, decided that he was going to say these things, do these things, make this comment, and then nothing take place. I think he fully expected an answer. Because he said, hey, I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. We know the end of the story. The fire fell. All those things happened. The prophets of Baal were done away with, etc., etc., etc. You understand that God will honor his word. He wants us to be righteous. He's not going to just leave you hanging. He's not going to leave you out there to your oppressors, as David is saying. He says, hey, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. In Isaiah 56, the Bible tells us, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. God says that these that do justice and judgment are blessed. They're blessed if they follow these things. Is that kind of not what God tells us about our lives? And living a righteous and holy and pure and sanctified and separated life? That we'll be blessed. We'll be blessed. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So back to Psalm 119. David simply says, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Now look at verse 122. He continues and says, be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Now these first two verses, he's spoken of oppression. Those that oppress him and the proud who are his oppressors. We understand that they're the ones that are against him. And he asked God to be surety for him. Now you know what that means. And many times in scripture, that word surety is used in a negative way. In Proverbs, several times it tells you not to be surety for a stranger. Right? Or if you'll be surety for someone, surely you will smart for it. Okay? Now, listen, that is true when it comes to human being to human being. You need to be careful who you are surety for. You say, I don't even know what that means. Well, it simply means security against loss or damage. Or in law, one that is bound with and for another. So if you want to put it in today's terms, it's like a co-signer. Okay? Someone who's signing on with you to promise to keep something. They enter into a bond and recognize for one for the other perhaps in court or a payment of a debt or performance of something. So David is saying, God, be my security. Be the one that helps me keep this thing or keep these things to be true or to be cared for. He says, be surety for thy servant for good. For good. Hey, listen, I'm not necessarily against someone being surety for someone else, but listen, don't expect anything. Don't expect anything, because surely you'll be disappointed. Right? You understand that you enter into an agreement. And you do so willingly. Can I tell you something? That God is good for his part of being our surety and our safety. He will not fault on the loan. He won't. He's good for it. And actually, he'll do better than we will in this agreement. He says, be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Over and over again, David called upon the Lord for help, and God helped him. In Psalm chapter 4, it says, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me, and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know what? If you're going to ask anybody to be surety for you, it ought to be the Lord. It ought to be him. You know, why? Because he's going to come through. He's going to be there, even though these oppressors, these proud that are against you, and against that were against David, and as they come against him, God is our safety. He's our security. He is the one that keeps us from losing out on things because of these oppressors. In Psalm chapter 12, David said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're talking about God being our surety, our safety. He is joining with us and binding with us for our cause. David said in Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Are you there in 1 John? Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Aren't you glad that he's our advocate? If we do sin, if we do come into these things, if you will, he is our advocate. He is the propitiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world. I think David was wise to ask God to be surety for him for good. He said, let not the proud oppress me. Well, turn your Bibles back to Psalm 119. And let's look at verse 123. Now, this has already been mentioned, and almost word for word in Psalm 119 previously. So I decided that I was going to give some examples of how God will respond when we feel this way. David says, mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. In other words, he's simply saying, God, I'm tired of waiting. God, I can't see that you're doing anything. Now, can I tell you something? You've never felt that way. I've never felt that way. Right? I mean, let's just think about this. And I understand what we're doing here. We're going through this. He says, I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. So he's obviously having some difficulties, right? And he's kind of trying to make a case. He says, God, I've done judgment and justice, and I've followed things. So don't let these people oppress me. They're oppressing me. God, be surety for me for good. Kind of, God, have my back. You know, join with me in this crusade against these oppressors, and be my safety and my strong tower and my buckler and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. I mean, he's grasping at straws, and he gets to this third verse. He says, mine eyes fail. God, are you there? I can't see you, God. This oppression is here, and the proud, they're after me, and I'm kind of to the point where, is that you on the horizon out there? Are you coming? Isn't that the sense you get from what he's saying? He says, even for the word of thy righteousness. Can I tell you, believer? Storms do rage. The world is fierce. And a lot of times, things can cloud our vision, block what we can or cannot see. The circumstances get deep. They get tough. Discouragement sets in. Depression, maybe. You know what? We can't let that get to us because of who He is. You say, but I just can't see it. Can I say something? And listen, I know I probably couldn't even hold a candle to David. But can I just say, really? After all you've been through? After all the times God has delivered you? You're going to say, mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness? Hasn't He proven Himself? Isn't He true and trustworthy? And guess what? Isn't His timing always right? Well, it may not be to us, but it is to Him. And that's what matters. Maybe just tonight, I want to, in the closing here, I want to be an encouragement to you. Hey, listen, I know there are oppressions out there. But I know God is faithful. Oh, I know the proud and the wicked are out there. And they push hard against us. But He is a reliable surety for us. Don't fail to see His salvation. Don't fail to see the word of His righteousness. God is faithful. Take your Bibles to Psalm 27. It's this wonderful psalm. Psalm 27. And it really explains this. And I kind of laugh because, you know, David wrote Psalm 27 and he wrote this too. It's like, did you forget already? It was a privilege to sing a choir piece that emphasized this point. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer His tabernacles, in His tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What a psalm. And completely the opposite of mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Folks, don't let that get you down. Just because God doesn't answer or doesn't hear the voice of your crying doesn't mean he didn't hear you. Doesn't mean he's not doing anything about it. He just may be. You just don't know. I think David was wise to say in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Just flip a few pages to the right to Psalm 37. Look at verse 28. This kind of ties into the other two. By David saying in verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked, listen to this, shall be cut off. Hey, listen. It doesn't say when. It doesn't say in your timing. It says it will take place. We sing that song there in the hymn book, right? How tempted to try, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Right? Well, there are others that are living in wickedness and doing these things, and it seems like they're never punished, even though they're doing wrong. And that's not for you and me to worry about or decide what's going to happen to them. It will happen. It will happen. Don't let your eyes fail for his salvation and for the word of his righteousness. His salvation will come. His judgment will come. His word is true and his righteousness will stand. It says the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Isn't that encouraging? Listen, I know this is stuff you know about. But it seems like in those dark times, in those oppressed times, in those deep waters, just like Peter did, we lose sight of the Lord when the winds and waves come crashing in. I think David had a similar experience perhaps here. No doubt there was great oppression in his life and great time of difficulty. But how many times did God come to his rescue? I mean, I just pulled out a few of the Psalms. And listen, in these Psalms, 27, 37, and here in 62, which I don't have time to read for you, he was very sure of his salvation that he received from God. He had experienced both. Don't come to the place where you say, mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. In Isaiah 12, the Bible tells us that in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. God is our help. God is our salvation. His word is righteous, and it will come to pass in his time. It's in his time. So don't be looking out there and squinting your eyes and saying, God, are you there? He's there. But I can't see him. He's there. Well, I can't feel him. He's there. I can't hear him. He's there. He's there. Didn't he promise he would never leave us nor forsake us? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Amen. In 2 Peter, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Does that mean he will? Maybe, yes. Maybe not always. It just says he knows how. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So what I take away from that verse is, listen, are we going to go through some temptations and trials and difficulties in our lives? Yes. Are there going to be times where it seems like those that are not they're doing wrong and wicked and not upright and not just, that they're not punished? It's going to seem that way. But be sure that God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And I don't know. If you're going to ask him to be surety for you, I think he's trustworthy. Right? If you're trusting him to be your safety and your deliverer and your salvation, I think he's trustworthy for all of it. So some things to take away from tonight. Be sure that God will execute judgment in his time. Continue doing right. Judgment and justice. Leave the oppressors to God. Allow him to be your surety, your safety. Trust in him for good. Don't worry about the proud oppressors. And when those things are happening and those things are out there and it seems like God is not doing anything about it, he is. Or he will. In his time. It's the wonderful word of God. I'm glad that we have the scriptures to look to. We know that God will answer. David did ask at one point in his life, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He didn't quit. He did say, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He knew. But you know what? David was human just like you and I are. And these things oftentimes do keep us from seeing the truth for what it is, that God is faithful. He will deliver. He will save us and keep us and help us in our time of need. It's the wonderful word of God. I hope if you've enjoyed the continuing studies. We're going to go over three more verses next Sunday. Amen. As we plug along through this. But thank you so much for being here. I hope these things have been a blessing to you this evening.